Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gents, back by popular demand.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yeah, what's going on, world? First Fan Radio, you already know what it is, man. It's your boy Chill Givey, man, live and direct, man. We got a different type show tonight, you know what I mean? We got one of hip-hop's own up in here, you know what I mean? 30-year vet and author and director, you know what I mean? I'm talking about no other than Mrs. Rebecca Scott. Welcome to the show.
Hello?
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Hello, thank you for having me.
How you doing tonight?
I'm okay. I can't complain. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm just eager to start the show, you know. A very interesting show tonight. You know, I know you've been through a lot, you know what I mean, and you talked to a lot of people about these. Hopefully some of these questions right here haven't been answered. For starters, just to start off, just for the listeners that don't know who you are, just give them a little history lesson real quick.
Okay. I've worked in the hip-hop music industry since its inception, since it started. Worked with a lot of artists. KRS-One, Mad Lion, Channel Live, Orange Juice Jones, Big L. I work with Tupac, Biggie, Diddy. Worked at a few labels. I was in a few hip-hop movies. And I basically had my own management company for most of those years where I represented artists. And I became very good at what I did, and I made a lot of money.
Okay. One of the things I want to ask you, just to start off, a question I always ask a lot of industry artists is, far as the Illuminati goes, like, can you just give us like a brief background of like what it is in hip hop, but you know, with the symbolism and you know the people at the higher up offices.
Well, in my book, when I break it down, I refer to it as any secret organization, not just the one that was started in the 1700s. So you have a lot of societies within the industry, in the entertainment industry especially, where there are oaths and rituals and things that are done, and people are initiated, and it's all for the purpose of the people that control these things. And so when I use the term Illuminati, that's what I'm referring to. I'm referring to anything that goes on in secret that the public does not know about, and that results in a major change.
Okay. What's some of the things you could tell the public, you know, about, you know, this, these entities operating in the music industry?
Well, for instance, the change in the music, that was all orchestrated, and it was something that was planned, and it was just something that needed to be brought to fruition. And when it came about, because it was carefully planned, people didn't protest. Back in the day, we didn't have songs that degraded women and that promoted getting high. And in fact, we had songs that were just the opposite. Melly Mel and Flash, and then they were doing songs called White Lines and, you know, those types of songs to put out anti-drug messages. Now, today, you have songs that advocate, you know, let's get high, let's, you know, do scissor or what have you. And the women are disrespected. And all of this it was planned. It was planned to be, and it's all part of the agenda. And people don't see it for what it is.
Okay, when you speak on agenda, like, you know, like, are a lot of artists aware of what's going on? Are they in on it too, or this is beyond their knowledge?
There are some who are in on it, and they actually are getting paid, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they're cool with that. Then you have others who are in on it without even their knowledge because, you know, ignorance is bliss. So you have a lot of people that are perfectly content with being blind to things. As a matter of fact, they'd rather be blind to something than know anything about it.
Wow, that's real. And now, you wrote a series of different books.
Yes, I did.
You have Real Hip Hop Gangsters, The Thug Bible, The Price of Fame, and End Time Prophecies. I want to talk to you about The Price of Fame. What made you go ahead and write that book? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's me. I'm coming down with a little cold. The Price of Fame, I wrote that about 2 years ago, and that actually deals with the Hollywood aspect. And it deals with a lot of the people that died either unusual deaths or they died too soon or some type of calamity that came as a result of their fame. So I'm not just dealing with hip-hop. As a matter of fact, I have very little hip-hop in that book. It's mainly dealing with Hollywood stars.
Okay. Now what's some of the deaths, in your opinion, were unusual to you that made you, you know, like, you know what? That's unusual. Let me. I got to speak up or say something about this stuff.
Well, for instance, there were a lot of R&B singers who were duets, and they sang two together, and they died almost around the same time. You have Renee and Angela; they died. Unusual deaths, and it was very close by, within a year of each other. McFadden and Whitehead. There was the actress Rosalind Cash, who was in the movie Tales from the Hood, and the young brother who played opposite her, Lamont, I think Bentley was his last name. They died within a year of each other.
That was kind of weird. You're talking about the young brother that played on Moesha, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I'm surprised. I didn't even think. I forgot that he even passed away. You know.
Yeah.
Now, is it so sudden like that in this business? Like, you know, like what gets them involved to the point where, you know, they're gonna bump them off? Like, is it, you know, they getting more money for their lives in the end? Like the record companies or the acting companies? What is it?
Well, when it comes to the music industry, you are worth, and to the entertainment industry overall, most artists are worth more dead than they are alive. For some reason, the public, which is it's a very macabre thing, but it's a fact that they are very fascinated by death. So when someone dies, all of a sudden, just like painters, all of a sudden their work and everything they've done has become so valuable because the people know they're not going to see them anymore or whatever it is, but sales go through the roof.
Wow. I mean, we see it with Tupac. We've seen it with a lot of, you know, and a lot of people, actually.
Yes.
But,
the very next day they had Whitney Houston compilations.
Oh, yeah. Shit, they had Nelson Mandela movie right after.
Oh, yes. Yes. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. It was waiting.
It was waiting. Like, you know, he's going to die tomorrow. We're going to drop it tomorrow. So.
Yeah.
You know,
there is no shame to the game anymore.
Oh, they just go ahead and get it, huh?
Yeah. Well, and not to mention that there was ever very much in the beginning at all. I mean, the game has always been shameless. A lot of people forget that this entertainment business was started by mobsters. It was started by people who were criminals.
Wow.
You know.
And that's crazy. Now I want to ask you, Professor Griff goes on a lot of, you know, he does a lot of speeches on this and lectures. My question to you is, like, have you ever, you know, collabed or talked with Professor Griff about any of this stuff? Or what are you guys doing, you know, because he's out there in the avid fight, like, every day. Like, you know, if I see something on him, like, are you networking with him or, you know?
Professor Griff not only mentions me in his book, if you get his book on hip-hop and the Illuminati, and he mentions me, but we are friends. He is my brother and my comrade in the struggle. And we did do a joint book signing a couple years ago in Harlem, and we did speak to the crowd, and we were filmed for Vice Television, but as you know, the media is also owned and run by the Illuminati. And the fact that we expose so much in that public arena, the actual tape never went to air. They never aired it. They were afraid.
Wow.
But Griff is my friend. He's my brother and my comrade. And, yes, we've done things together, and we plan to do things in the future.
Okay, now, what were some of the things that, you know, you're doing? Do you have to move incognito? Do you have to stay? Like,
well,
are you on the scene
of the
industry right now?
I'm actually in the cut right now. I'm actually undercover right now. No one, not even my family, knows where I'm at. I'm working on my next big project, and yes, I have to move a little silently because I don't know if you did your research, but about a year ago I had a few big losses where some of these entertainers wanted to take me to court because of the things that I said about them in my first book, Hip Hop Illuminati. The problem with that is that everything I said was already public knowledge, and they couldn't deny it, so they had no suit. But as a result of that, especially people like myself, like Griff, like Alex Jones, like Sirius Dogstar, and all of us who expose this stuff, is that if they can't beat us one way, they try to do it another way. So you have stans who are so caught up in the celebrities that they want to destroy anyone that says anything bad about them. And so I have those that I have to watch out for. And then you have the the government, who generally tries to discredit you by putting trolls on my YouTube. I have a lot of trolls who come and they start arguments, or they try to discredit me with, you know, crap that they've been fed. And so I have to watch out for that, because I don't just deal with the music aspect. That's a small part of it. There's also plans that the government has for your money, for your livelihood, even for your homes. People don't realize that one day the government can knock on the door and say, you know what, we're taking our land back. You don't own the land. You own this house, but you don't own the land, and we need our land. There's FEMA camps that you can't get out of. There's a whole agenda.
Now, I heard a lot of stuff about that. Now, one of the things I heard in the music industry is that it's a needle that costs about $100,000 that they go around and they give you the Eazy-E or the Pimp C. And I heard Suge Knight joking about it on a show. But doing a little research and talking to a few people, they say it might exist, it might not. Can you tell me anything about that?
You said a needle?
Yeah, that they drug up, or, you know, like they, some people say it was used on Whitney, and it was used on Pimp C and Eazy-E, and, you know, people have.
Well, I do know that there exists a type of needle that is so tiny, it can be in the palm of your hand, and you can shake someone's hand, and it can transmit the AIDS virus without them even knowing it or feeling it. And I do believe that is what happened in the case of Eazy, because it was just too quick and too the turnaround. I mean, you, one day you've got AIDS, the next week you're dead. You know, wow. So that's one thing. As far as Pimp C, now you're talking about a real thug from Port Arthur, Texas, who, I believe he's from Port Arthur, but he's from Texas. Him, Bun, all of them, they were down there doing things, doing big things, way before the music. The music was like a side thing. Bun, Pimp C, that whole crew, I forget the name of the crew collectively, but they were all making moves. Then, for some reason, Pimp C winds up dead in a hotel room. Nobody knows anything, and they're blaming it on Scissor. Most people that do Scissor and all these other types of things, they do it on the regular. So yeah. Chances of them dying from it is very unlikely, because they already know. They know what the tolerance is. It's just like a junkie. You know, unless you get them a hot shot or something, they pretty much can handle whatever it is they're doing, because they're good at that. They do that. This is what they do. I believe it was a setup with Pimp C. I'll always believe that. Pimp C was talking about Russell and all these other down low people in the industry, some who even tried to get at him. He was exposing a lot of people, talking about, this was before gay was so accepted as it is now. He was exposing a lot of people, and then all of a sudden he winds up dead. You do the math.
Okay. Could you give me some insight on like how fashion is ran, like what a lot of artists do? Is that part of the Illuminati process too in hip hop? Like with fashion designers getting giving endorsement deals to artists and record labels?
Well, it's not so much the fashion thing, because, see, what we keep doing is going back and forth with this fashion thing. We've got some artists who decide, okay, I'm going to put out my fashions. You've got, you know, Jay, he put out Rockaware. Diddy put out Sean John. You had Nelly with Apple Bottoms. You had even I had signed one of the first endorsement deals for Orange Juice Jones to wear Boss, Hugo Boss, back in the day, because they were looking for people to promote their stuff. But what's happening now, and this is what David Chappelle, this is what part of what made him, you know, go off on a rant, and of quite a few others, is there's this feminization of African-American men that's happening, where these designers and the clothes and the trend now is very effeminate. You've got hip-hop was never effeminate. The men in hip-hop were always, there was always this roughness, this swagger, this, you know. Now you've got Little Pain in jeggings and a long shirt that looks like a dress. You've got Gaysap wearing something that looks like a dress, and he's got pigtails. You've got, you know, the list goes on and on and on.
Kanye West wears a sky.
Oh, yes. Let's not forget Queen Ye. So, you know, it just goes on and on and on.
Now, do you have, like, a personal beef with any of these artists that, you know, that and is involved in this, and they have, like, blackballed you or anything?
Well, you know, when it comes to Diddy, I was like his mother. I was telling someone that the clubs and stuff, during the 90s, he would come and look and find me online to get him in, because he couldn't get in. Then as he started doing parties and things, he got a little well-known. But I've known him all that time, up until actually I went to prison. I knew him and still do. I mean, if you say my name, you will say he knows me. The thing that I don't like with him is that, you know, you never forget where you come from, and you never forget the people that help you get where you get.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, some of us, we get raised up, some of us, we get brought down. But there's no saying, as long as there's life, that person can't be brought up again. Diddy is the most disrespectful, absent-minded, selfish type of person. And this is why he has beef, and this is why he has no friends, and this is why everybody that's ever went through Bad Boy ran the hell out of there. They either got religion, Mike Shine got the hell away from him, became a Jew, although I don't know what he was doing at Fashion Week sitting up there with him. But Shine got a bad deal on that. Wolf, rest in peace, you know, got a bad deal out of that. Everything he's touched has turned to shit. Excuse me, has turned to garbage.
No problem. Do you think you have anything to do with Biggie's murder?
A lot of people ask me that. I can't speculate on that because I wasn't there. But I can say that Biggie was a real Brooklyn thug. It would have been very, very, very hard for Diddy to jerk him for any long period of time without some type of recourse.
Cousin.
Biggie wasn't going to let that go down.
Yeah. Wow.
See, the people forget is that Pac was, he was a hell of a rapper. He was a nice guy, but he wasn't a real thug. He knew thugs, but he wasn't, Biggie was a real thug.
Mm.
Pac was a movie thug and a great, hell of an actor and a hell of a performer. But Biggie was a real thug. Biggie was a real thug that happened to know how to rap.
Wow. And I said a lot of people probably begged to differ because Tupac was catching charges and the media.
He was catching charges because he started wilding after he got big. If you remember when he was with Humped and that crowd, he was like a mouse. You didn't hear nothing out of him. Even on stage, he would make, like, appearance.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't until they developed and marketed that thug image, that thug life, that he became that. But he was more of a camera thug than and a record thug than a real thug. He didn't live that life. He went to the performing arts, Duke Ellington School of the Arts with Jada. He was groomed to be what he became, which was an actor and a performer. Biggie was never groomed for that. Biggie was groomed for them streets, but he had a real street flow that people were feeling because they could feel it. The man was real. Unlike some of these rappers out here now, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk.
In your opinion, right now, what's some of the things artists that's coming out and up and coming right now could do to change the way the industry is going?
I think everybody making songs about the same thing is kind of what we used to say back in the day is whack. You know, everybody got to be in the strip club making it rain. Okay, so now what else you do? Can you do something else on the record besides making it rain? Every strip hop, that's the new style we got. It's not hip hop no more. Every song is a strip hop.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm saying, you know, people, it's all right to talk about money, but I'm like Jay. He said, I hate to brag about what I got, but I'm used to not having a lot. So the people who don't have a lot, they don't want to hear about what you got because they're trying to get theirs. And I think, in a way, that messes with a person's psyche. But then again, even the entertainment, people will tell you, the people who are in charge, that this thing was created to control the mind. Even if you go back in the day to when music was first used in a psychological capacity, there was a German doctor called Dr. Mesmer. And that's where the name mesmerize comes from. And he did an experiment where he put people in a room with music and flashing lights and tested their reaction. And that showed him that's how the club concept was made. All of that is designed to put you in a certain state of mind and to be receptive to the signals.
Now, what's the signal? Can you give us some insight on the signal?
It all depends, but anything that you constantly repeat to yourself like a mantra is what you become. So if you're constantly all day, every day, glued into your headphones, chanting murder, murder, you know, whatever, kill, yeah. And you're feeding that thought in your head, and that's the psyche you're going to walk around with because you're gassing yourself up to be this murderous person.
I could probably agree with you on that because when a lot of people listen to music, they listen. Some people, it affects people different ways. Some people might dance.
Absolutely.
Some people might want to get high and do all the drugs in the song and then do something more off the chain than what the song entails. You know, but
that's the first thing people say when they get romantic. I want to set the mood. So they select the music to set the mood.
Yeah, that's true. I can see your theory on mind control with it.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not just my theory. This was what I was telling you. Dr. Mesmer, who was an actual doctor, he did this to see if people can be controlled via the music. And it was a fact. And even today they use music therapy. And this was done like in the 1700s. Mesmer did his experiment. But even today they have a type of music therapy. They have people who've come out of a coma because you played their favorite song.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I heard things about it, but I really didn't know it to be really credible. But you learn something new every day. You just taught me something, though.
And then if you look at the young people that are, no one's original anymore. Everybody's following a trend. I'm in an area of town where I see young, disadvantaged youth with $300 sneakers and no ride and no money, but they got the sneaks because everybody else has them.
Because everybody else has them.
Exactly.
And what would be the reason for that? Would you blame that on the industry?
I blame it on marketing. It's all part of that. In my book that I talk about the manipulation of America, I talk about how we are manipulated consumers. We buy things because we're told to buy them. We're told this is what you need. This is what you need to be sexy. This is what you need to clean your floor with. This is what you need to eat. This is what you need to feed your family. And we listen to it, either because our favorite actor or singer is promoting it, or the guy we like from TV, you know, whoever. It's like we've become suckers.
Wow.
And people don't even realize it because we're like automatons. It's a coincidence that they redid RoboCop because we're robo people. We're programmed, and I talk about this in the deprogramming of Black America, which was my 22nd book. I talk about how we as Black Americans, I have a new term. I call it Negropeans because we're totally programmed to want and be like our European brethren, except we don't have the money to maintain the lifestyle, but we're told to want it and covet it and get it by any means necessary.
What's your opinion on Barack Obama?
You put me on the spot with that. I think he was a good idea.
You think he was a good idea? Now, as for president or being part of a chosen person to be in the Illuminati to carry out an agenda?
I think that the powers that be gave us something to keep us quiet so that when everything really goes down, they can say to us, well, you can't blame us. You had a Black president. So they can shift the blame and... You know, people don't realize the things that are getting ready to go into effect. These brokers jumping out the window and killing themselves, that's not a mistake. You know, there's getting ready to be a major financial collapse. A lot of what people are depending on and living on is going to disappear. Welfare is already making its exodus. And you know, there's so much more happening. All of these things that we count on to live, they're not going to exist. They're going to be some very angry, broke, hungry people in a minute.
Wow. My other question for that is, you know, again, like, you know, they said the government is in control of everything. Would you say he has anything to do with, like, the music industry, being that, you know, him and Jay-Z always have a little media promotion?
I think all of that is part of the sucking in of people, and I think that it's going to keep a lot of people in the dark because people are saying, oh, we're good. We got a black president. We've got, wow, look, our rappers is hanging out with the president. You know, it's like making people feel very comfortable. And it's when you start to feel too comfortable that things can then hit the fan. You have to always keep your guard up. Any true warrior and true fighter knows that you never get too comfortable because the enemy attacks the camp when it's asleep. And they teach you that when you actually go to war. That's why they always have someone on watch while the others are sleeping, because the enemy, if he wants to defeat you and he's not certain of defeat, he will attack you when you're asleep. So America is asleep right now. The young people are asleep. That's why getting high and all of that is so popular now, because it keeps you asleep.
Wow. Yeah, I knew something was going on when a lot of the conscious rap wasn't heard as much as it was in the 90s and the early 80s. You know, as time was going on, you know, like, I can't remember the last time. I think the last conscious record I heard going into 2000, I think, was probably Poor Righteous Teachers.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It wasn't promoted, you know.
When Busta was with them.
Yeah. Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then he pulled off and did his own thing, and there's a lot behind that as well. But you're not going to – no conscious rap is going to get signed these days because no one's trying to hear it. Even the songs that have a conscious intro or something in there in the hook. I mean, I heard a song that even had a church beat. It had the little organ, and the kid was saying amen all through the song. But he was cursing, and he was saying, you know, stuff that was off the wall. So it really didn't have a significance. There wasn't a – you know, a point.
Yeah. It sounds like Meek Mill's right there, that record. I think he had a record called Amen on Church or something like that.
Oh, okay, that's Meek? Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about, yeah. And it's like, I got some bad so-and-so in this building, amen, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it's catchy, it's nice, and you've got quite a few people there introducing some type of religiosity into their songs. You've got Kanye, you've got Jay, Church in a While, you know, you've got all of this, but it's still, they've perverted it.
Okay.
They're mocking the church. They're not really bigging up the church. They're mocking
You spoke on having a relationship with Jay-Z. Now, in all the years that you know him, have you ever known him to be a Satanist or a Mason? Caught up in his...
Well, now, remember, I lost touch with Jay-Z for 10 years because I went to prison for 10 years.
That's right.
So I didn't see him. I didn't see Puffy. I didn't see anybody. They sent me to prison in Oregon because I was busted under a federal statute, what they call racketeer influence corrupt organization, which is the RICO law. And... so I was put under queenpin, and so I had to do the minimum 10 years. And they stuck me in some hick town in Oregon. I was in Coffee Creek Correctional Facility in Oregon. No black people. I think I was the only black person in the whole town. And I didn't get visited, and I don't know if my mail ever went out, but nobody from the industry came and seen me. So what I know about Jay, I know him from the early days when
him and Dame was starting out. I remember as they rose. I remember him actually even before that. I remember meeting him through Jazz-O, who had that wax song, Hawaiian Sophie. And then him and Jay did The Originators, and they blew up. So the things I know about him from back then are not the things that are happening with him now. When I do my videos on him now and I talk about the masonry and stuff, I go by the symbols in the videos and the songs and the fact that his Blueprints album are significant. And so I break down what I see. And also the fact that he made such a leap in the industry with no training or education in finance or business or any of that. So it's apparent that he had help. That's a fact.
Yeah, a lot of help, right? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, I said like a lot of help. Other thing I want to ask you, we're going to get back on the book now. You said you had a lot of people trying to, you know, do a lot of things with you legally. Like, how has it been with you since you released the book, you know, like living your day-to-day, like going to the store, going shopping, you know, are these people trying to threaten your life? You know, what's going on in your life?
Well, I had threats to my finances with the legal suits. I had a suit come out of Kanye's camp, and they weren't able to pursue it because I was able to prove that everything that I said in Hip Hop Illuminati was public domain. My lawyer said I was being threatened with a suit out of Jay-Z's camp, but they pulled back at the last minute, so I was good. In terms of just in general speaking, I have people that are trolls that go to my sites and they try to discredit me, and I believe they're planted there. So, you know, when I recognize them, I block them. But in the meantime, you know, they come through and they say things regarding my character or what have you to try to discredit me. And in terms of just my personal safety, like I said, I'm in the cut, so no one knows where I am and the place where I'm at. No one really even knows who I am, so I'm okay. So that's where it stands now. I mean, they know that I'm an author, but they don't know who I am, really. So I'm good.
Now, are you completely done with the music industry? You know,
I am done for the most part. I almost came out of retirement to manage a rapper, but it didn't work out, so I determined that maybe I'll just stay out of the business and continue to write my books and keep a low profile because I'm not really looking to – I've had a couple people that wanted to turn The Thug Bible, which is my biography, into a movie, but I'm just not sure that I want the publicity that comes with it. I'm older now. Like I said, I did 10 years, which messed up my health. So I'm not in the best of health either. And I just want to, you know, live my life out as uneventful as possible.
Okay. And I know John, you said you and John Forte went down. I know he was released from Fort Dix. Why did they send you guys in opposite directions?
Oh, well, now the thing when I mentioned John Forte, I'm saying to people that this was during that time when there was the hip hop police. That was a real thing. And people were getting cut down just based on their street associations. Forget the fact that they had come into this game and made lots of money and made other people lots of money. They were being discredited because the powers that be couldn't use them to their benefit anymore, or these people wouldn't bend. So there were people like myself. Well, John Forte, his downfall were those white girls. They actually turned him in when they got caught, and that was beneficial for them, but not for him. But in terms of the whole stretch, it was a big hand that was reaching out over hip hop and plucking people. It plucked Murder Inc. And Gotti and his brother, they had to go through that whole thing. And that was also based on their association with Preem. But again, this was stuff that wasn't happening as much as in the industry as was happening on the street. There was a lot of stuff happening on the street that was being credited to business when it wasn't. It was actually street beef, you know. And look how long it took them to catch Jimmy Hinchman.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and if you want to talk about people who go way back with me, Jimmy and I go all the way back to 119th and Lenox, when Frenchie and a whole bunch of other cats were running the block back then, and Harlem was, like, called money-making Manhattan. Harlem was where the money was being made. It wasn't like today where you've got people, you know, hanging out on the corner or wherever, and, you know, they're making $50, $100 a day. We were making paper back then. But it took them all them years to finally catch up to Jimmy, because Jimmy was smart, and he also wouldn't bend. Jimmy didn't bend for anybody.
Now what about him and Tupac? You know, what's your opinion on that? Did you?
I can't speak on that.
Okay.
I can't speak on that. When I did my movie about Tupac, I tried to touch on it as much as I could, but I can't go any further into that.
Okay. Now, as far as the movie you released, Thug Immortal, are they giving you problems with, like, receiving royalties and residuals off from the movie?
I'm sorry?
I said, are they giving you any, you know, flack about, you know, residuals and royalties from that movie?
Oh, no. Actually, that movie, which George Tan was the director on that, I was paid a flat fee. And if you look at it in the credits, it says consultant, and then it also says legal representative or something like that. But they were all titles that I gave myself because I had put my money in it and I wanted it to be known that I was part of the production. But I got paid basically off the top. When I went to prison, all my money stopped. I couldn't collect anything. The government swore to that. And then not only that, I'm in debt to the IRS for over $50,000, and the only reason I'm not in prison for that is because we have something called the Mercy Clause. So the fact that I'm handicapped eliminates me from having to go to prison for that.
Okay. My co-host is live, Turner Boy, First Fan Radio. Man, what's going on, bro?
Well, man, just sitting back listening. How's everything?
Everything's all right, man. You got any questions you would like to ask Mrs. Scott tonight?
Yeah, I want to go back to Jimmy Hinchman for a minute. Now, I was reading there was testimony in court that Jimmy Hinchman actually had prices on G-Unit's head, 50 Cent, Lloyd Banks. Was it 50 Cent, Lloyd Banks, Tony Yayo, et cetera. And that was testified in open court. And I'm just wondering how true was that.
You're asking me how true that is?
Yeah.
I won't speculate publicly on a public forum about a case that's still in the court, but I can tell you this, that there was beef going back, way back to, I don't know if you remember when Jimmy's son was attacked on the street.
By Tony Yayo, 50 Cent.
Yes, exactly. Tony and those other gay unit faggots attacked Jimmy's son. And, you know, I'm not just saying this because we go back, but Jimmy Hinchman has been a gentleman. This whole thing, when I was telling someone earlier, 50 was telling people how he was running with Supreme. That's a lie. Supreme is in my age group. 50 was a kid when Supreme was running things in Queens. So he's saying all of these things, and then, you know, you've got people in your camp who are jumping on a little boy. You know, that was just disrespectful. He was a kid at that time. So, you know, I would say that they're lucky that Jimmy didn't take it to the next level. You know, and this is someone that I know personally. When I used to go up there to Czar on 27th, Jimmy's mother used to come with all this Haitian food. I mean, it was like family. You talk about love. Jimmy, I know him from 119th and Lenox, him, Frenchie, and a whole bunch of other, I'm talking OOG, back when people respected the game, and it wasn't about just, you know, getting fat and being selfish and flossing. It was also about helping the community that you lived in. You know, people ate, holidays, people were eating. You know what I'm saying? So I don't respect these young people coming into the game and professing to be G's and just starting stuff for the heck of it to, like Premier said back in the day, just to get a rep, when you don't even know who you're messing with. You're messing with people that can take you out of here. So that's what I say about that. I'm not saying he has a contract on him or not, because I don't know. He didn't make a contract with me, so how would I know? But I'm saying that he's a gentleman, and he's a real gangster, and people need to play their position.
Right. But what I'm saying is this is back something that was done back years and years ago. But when you go back to the situation with Supreme, now from my understanding, then dealing with Supreme was going went really way back to before 50 Mama got killed, you know. And from my understanding, that's where it stemmed from.
I'm sorry.
But, I said, from my understanding, when the Supreme came into play, back when 50 Mother was alive before she got killed. So now, as far as what's going on now, what Jimmy has and what he don't have now, I can't really answer about that, you know, because you know he's been incarcerated for a little while now, so we don't really know it. You know, it's just trying to open the eyes and get a little bit of an understanding. I know everything's not going to be completely put out down the tape.
Yeah, but Preem didn't have anything to do with 50's mother getting killed.
Okay. You got another question?
You know, a lot of people accredit stuff to people that's not even true. And then you've got people coming out, and I discuss a lot of this in my book, Real Hip Hop Gangsters. You know, you've got like, and it's so funny, look who wrote the song, Wangsters. But you've got that. You've got these people pretending to be gangsters, and then you've got people who really are. And that's where the trouble starts, because when you mix these fake thugs with the real thugs and people get killed, all of a sudden everybody's crying, oh, that was my boy, he was this, he was that. But you're playing with real thugs, so what do you expect?
Yeah.
You've got Rick Ross down there. He took a real thug's name. He's trying to sell this image as having been in the drug game and all of that. And his real profession was telling people to bend over and spread your cheeks. Be what you were. Don't try to be something you're not.
Right. In dealing with music, we know reality is, you know, a lot of these artists out here is making images that they're not. I can't necessarily say that, you know, how long he was a correctional officer, and I don't think it was a career. But it was clearly stated that Rick Ross was an image. It was nothing that was hid behind it. You know, it was an image. It was something that was built and portrayed. Not necessarily a lot of truth had been said to him being that guy instead of those type of drugs, but they were image that portrayed or respect the image in the set.
You know, the way I feel about it personally, if you've gotten to a certain level in terms of your money, you get rich or you die trying. Okay, so you didn't die trying, you got rich. All right, mm-hmm. Enjoy it. Anyone that has gotten rich and you're trying to die, then you're an ass.
Yeah, I mean, I feel to a certain extent. It's just been said as a portrayed image. Now, whether a person wants to try to kill you after that, behind that, because, you know, you portrayed an image and you were honest about it, then I don't really know. It's like acting in a sense. Everybody knows that he was not the big drug dealer, but it was put out there like it was a thing of acting, not being like, I am that guy, I'm doing it, I'm moving these chickens, or I'm doing this and doing that. It's a portrayed image.
I cannot speculate. All I can say is that there's serious stuff that's happening out there. Our kids are going to hell. The government has taken all of these arts programs out of school, music programs. They've taken religion out of school, which was one of the worst things they could have ever done. But you know what they've got plenty of money for, and they've got people lining up to invest in? Private prisons. They're building a lot of these. They've instituted the stop and search so that they can now bring on martial law. We're only a few minutes away from martial law, where you're going to be told when you can come outside of your house, when you must go in. These kids think it's a joke. All of these things that are being instituted, and it's all part of a big, big picture. The music, I spoke about that first, and I spoke about it. It took me a couple of books to really get it all out there, because that's what I did for 30 years. I worked in entertainment. But as I began to do my research when I was in prison, I realized this thing is much bigger than music. Music is just the mind control part. There's other things, and they're doing things. These inner cities, you go to different parts of New York, which is where I'm at, and you go into these so-called hoods. They're not hoods anymore. You've got million-dollar apartments and co-ops and things taking up where people used to live. People cannot afford to live there anymore. You're either rich or you're poor, and the poor are being weeded out, and they've got FEMA camps, and they've got places where if you're homeless, they lock you in, and you've got curfews and times to come in, and it's a whole big thing, and it's getting worse, and your money's going to be cut. The welfare is practically out of the window. People can forget that. You don't even get money for the amount of kids you had anymore.
Right, right. But see, the difference is these days is you have what they call pacifying parenting. If you think about it, the things that these kids do nowadays versus the things that we did as we were coming up is something that's totally different. The respect level that these kids have for adults these days is something that's totally different, because some of the shit that they do these days, we'll get the hell knocked out of us for. And they get slapped on the hands and say, no, don't do it no more. Back then, we weren't being, our parents weren't being controlled by law. They weren't being controlled by law, so they discipline as they see fit. Nowadays, parents got to be, they have to watch themselves and watch themselves to go to a certain distance, because if you hit your child too hard, you're going to get child services called on you, you know. But it's called pacifying parents, and that's why they're so out of hand right now, because they know that a phone call can be made, it can be all kind of bullshit coming to your house when it shouldn't be.
But they've got somewhere to put you if you get out of line. And a lot of this, what you see, the stop and frisk and stuff, and they're calling it, you know, anti-terrorism tactics and all of that, that's bull. That's to get more of these young people behind bars, because the people with the money are feeling unsafe. And there's going to be two classes. There's no longer going to be any middle class. It's going to be the poor and the rich. And if you're poor, you're either going to be working for someone rich, or you're going to be doing some other demeaning type of job. You're going to just be getting by, if you're getting by at all. It's going to be a lot of hungry, miserable people out here. And it's going to happen almost overnight. People are going to wake up and they're going to be like, where's my job? Where's my welfare check? Where's my SSI? None of that's going to exist. No food stamps. They're cutting things down, and we're going to be monitored. They've already got monitoring. These new licenses, they've got a hologram of your picture, and they've got a chip in there. Anywhere you go, you can be found. It's the same principle behind LoJack and all those other things.
Right. But you think about it, you say they're taking this, they're taking that stuff out. And look at the food stamp issue. How many people out there right now is actually taking advantage of their situation? People that actually out there that don't need them, that don't really need food stamps, they don't really need them, they're just too damn lazy to go get a job. How many of those people we have out there? We got quite a few of them out there. They're too damn, they're lazy, they don't want to go get a job, and they just live off the system.
But guess what? Pretty soon there's going to be no jobs. We're almost there now. And even with the jobs that are available, they're picking from the top of the line. They're picking from the cream of the crop. You've got people that come in there with a basic, even McDonald's. Even jobs like that, they're still picking the best. You've got people with college degrees working at McDonald's.
You want the competition. The competition. The competition has to work. You can't give. I can't give someone a position who didn't earn it. I can't give someone who didn't graduate high school a position versus a person who has a four year college degree. I can't just give that position to that person. That person has earned it.
But there's even other things that are keeping our people out of the marketplace, and they don't even realize it. You've got so many young people now who are trend followers. They follow these trends. I've seen 18, 19-year-old men walking around with Jolly Ranchers in their braids and sagging, forget the sagging pants, it's all kind of stuff. And you cannot go to these job places and expect people to hire you, and they cannot tell you, well, I didn't hire you because you have Jolly Ranchers in your braids, or I didn't hire you because your pants are sagging. They can't tell you that. They just don't hire you.
But
so we have young people who are subjectively putting themselves out of the marketplace by following trends and listening to what they hear on these records, and they don't realize that Lil Wayne doesn't have to worry about a job. He can wear jeggings and a T-shirt that looks like a dress.
Wow. I want to go back real quick. I think we went a little left. I want to back to your book, Hip Hop Illuminati. Do you speak upon Shakir Stewart and Chris Lighty situation in there? Because those was unusual deaths right there, and people, you know, I don't think they even got anybody. You know, they said that they both killed themselves, and people.
Yes, yes. Chris was my good friend. I didn't know Shakir, but I definitely knew Chris Lighty. We went back quite a bit. And I actually had written a whole book about Chris because there were a lot of things that he was doing. He was changing the trend in hip-hop to become more back to positive, and he had started coalitions. But he also had beef. There were a lot of people that were very jealous of Chris, and there was a lot of beef, and it was old beef that never actually got resolved. I knew that man. That was a proud brother. I doubt very seriously if he killed himself. You know, you have some people out there that are so adept at murder, they can actually make it look like you killed yourself, and even the professionals will not be able to determine that that's not the way it went down. And that's what I believe. I believe that it was made to look like a suicide, but it wasn't. And I heard about Shakir, and, my condolences to his family as well. But I did not know that brother.
Wow. Yeah, I just wanted to go and I just wanted to ask and see if you touched on that. There's a lot of unusual
stuff.
Yes,
I wrote
stuff.
A whole book about Chris. It's on my Amazon page.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of things, you know, that's actually going on out there, you know. But, you know, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you. Turner, you got anything?
How you doing, brother?
Anything you want to speak? You want to say, Rebecca, that you know you might not have the chance to say?
Yes, I just want to tell people that you can get all of my works. I'm on Amazon, www.amazon.com/author/Rebecca Scott, one word. You can also hit me up at Twitter, Holly.hood, real Holly Hood, at Twitter. It's real_Holly_hood. And, you know, definitely hit me up. And I want to say, you know, we've got to keep things in prayer. It's getting ready to get real serious out there. And people just need to recognize, definitely, let's not just help ourselves. Let's also help others. Because it used to be a time when we would reach down and pull up the next man or the next woman. And we've also, I don't know who is responsible for that word, haters, but we need to eliminate that. We need to become lovers again of ourselves and of each other.
Yes, I definitely agree. I appreciate you coming on the show tonight. You're always welcome back.
Thank you.
If there's any way that we could follow you and get in contact with you, could you please put it out there for the listeners?
Yes, definitely. You can reach me on email at holly.hood1@gmail.com. And once I reply to your email in my signature line, I have all my other links to my Facebook and other sorts of things. And just keep the positivity going, people. And if you see a brother or a sister down, you know, don't look down on them unless you're helping them to get up.
Definitely. I just want to say once again, we thank you for coming on the show, and have a good night. We appreciate you having you.
Thank you so much, brother. Have a good night as well. God bless.
You too.
Come on.
Yeah, that was Miss Rebecca Scott. Again, you know what I mean? Author, you know what I mean? Definitely, you know what I mean? 30 years vet in the music industry and so on. You know what I mean? She just gave us some, you know what I mean, valuable information. I don't know if y'all was listening, man, you know what I'm saying? But it's worth doing the research and doing the knowledge to it, man, you know what I mean? Just to find out more about what's going on, man. Man, we're going to get back to the, we're going to continue with the regular program in this hour, man. We got hour left. You know what I mean? Turner Boy, rocking with me. Hey, man, you all ready, man? We're going to go ahead and get into some music, man. We'll get back to the regular program. We got a brand new record.
Let me tell you about this before we go to break, man. Y'all make sure y'all go to www.firstfamradio.com and check out the new website, man. Gives you the insight on all the new music, everything that's going on a daily basis in the industry, you know what I'm saying? Plug you in. We got models coming up. We got the mixtapes coming up. We got video. We got everything. We want global for the game, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the homie Chill, man, for working and getting that done. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we out here doing this for y'all, man.
You know that. We're about to hop into this joint by Zayo, man. It's called A Day, man.
CTO. CLE. Straight out of Trenton. A-Day. When niggas get together like this from the town, we set that bitch on fire. I said I'm drippin' all this swag.
Tell them bitches give me space.
That make a hater mad.
Fuck them niggas anyway.
My bitch hella bad.
Passing pistons in her face.
Getting to this cash.
I do that like a day.
I do that like a day. I do that like a day. Realest niggas in this bitch, now count it up. Cashing out till I'm stacking like them paper plates. I've been doing me since it was Red Monkey and Baby Nate. Back when they was all favorite Rexes with them Jabos on.
I was wrecking shit.
Hop on that track, kill a whole song. You see me swerving on your bitch ass. You niggas is faker than stripper bitch ass. Can't hold a real nigga down, this to get bad. Two words for fuck niggas, get cash.
I said I'm
drippin'
all this swag.
Tell them
bitches give me space.
That make a hater mad.
Fuck them niggas
shit,
anyway.
My bitch hella bad.
Passing pistons in her face.
Getting to this cash.
I do that like AJ.
By the dollar, you could provide a fucking quarter. You gotta get it how you live on this side. Closed mouth, don't get fed in this town, ride. Bitch, you in my language, dangerous people. I suck a daredevil chance like I'm evil Knievel. If I fall off, I hope I learn to hate ass people. Bunch of hating ass niggas in the business seats. Don't fuck them all, I'm sucking free, I'm only riding for my people. Niggas slipping like a transmission, going to Regal. You ain't talking about money, nigga, we don't really need you. You ain't talking about work, nigga, we don't really need you, cuz gotta boss up to get your ones up.
Money,
you broke niggas acting stupid, get your funds up. And if you really run the town and throw that T up. And if you rest inside, then throw it up and bang what's up.
I'm dripping all this swag. Tell them bitches give me space.
That make a hater mad.
Fuck them niggas anyway.
My bitch hella bad.
Passing pistons in her face.
Getting to this cash. I do that like AJ.
Let's go check.
Straight
cash. Bitch, I do that AJ.
These broke niggas ain't saying shit. Every day I keep it 100. My real name should be Benjamin. Scratch. Let me find out. You ain't bout that though, B. All you gotta do is ask around. Real niggas, they know me. Cause every day I get paper. So every day I spend guap. I spend every day in that crack house. Whipping work with Young Flock. And every day the feds watching. Cause every day niggas tell. And every nigga got cake, boy. Until it's time to make bail. I seen niggas stunt and go broke. I seen broke niggas get rich. I know niggas that caught bodies all over some bitch. It's real here in my city. Them guns tall as titty. Boy, you don't want no problems. Cause ain't nigga get busy.
I said I'm drippin' on this swag. That make a hater mad.
Fuck them niggas anyway.
My bitch hella bad.
Passing pistons in her face.
Getting to this cash.
I do that like a day.
I do that, I do that, I do that like
okay.
I do that, I do that, I do that like
okay.
I do that, I do that, I do that like crack house, straight cash.
Bitch, I do that
okay. Double back full of that work. No pain, no gain, that's hurt. Bad bitch pop, that's twerk. Put a new car, that sound like skirt. All I know is
money.
Stacking high, hella flip set. All I count is hundreds. 35, so legit. 45 on my hip, better lay low. I hit 6 every time that I let go. Fuck, that's what I call a free throw. My bitch so bad like wet dope. Stay on the grind, nigga, that's every day. See me, I flex like every way. Getting money on my grind, that's every day. I beat off that loud, turn me up, can't turn me down. If a hater out of line, I'ma sit that hater down. I said I beat off that loud, turn me up, can't turn me down. If a hater out of line, I'ma sit that hater down.
Yeah, I got that high fire, nigga. Who want it? Yeah, I got that hot fire, nigga. Give me the game. Ha. You niggas being greedy, it's time to share the limelight. I got
that
punchline like 12th grade's prom night.
Rimmy
the shit that I write compared to what a bomb's like. Y'all niggas got a few months to get your minds right, minds right. I'm in the path for the chosen one. Ski mask, smoking gun, breeze past, smoking one shot. You going too hard, you need to lighten up. From that bar just spit, nigga, lightning struck. Hype him up, watch how quick he get his head snapped.
I got him.
My mouth filthy like a gutter, smell the dead
that's
rat.
Nasty.
My flow too mean to be nice, that be my catchphrase. I see the bitch in you, nigga, without x-rays. Most of y'all won't let it see the next days. When we got AKs, ARs, and SKs. We got blood gangs, Latin kings, and SAs. It won't be long before somebody be the next blade. You know what it is, if you fucking with Ace Neff. Trust me, it's a must that you face death.
It's easy.
Yo, that's nasty shit cutting like Blake breath. You ain't gon' have much of your face left.
Believe me.
Don't be surprised when we pull them cars up. Nigga, this thing right here tear Boulevard up.
What's good?
I put my arms up, got niggas under the wing. But nothing comes in between my money and my dreams. So to let you know I'm not the one you should front on, stunt on. I be with the pump on your front lawn. Like, what's good, nigga? Y'all niggas been talking that bullshit, man. I tried to hold back my anger, y'all forcing it to come. Stick a fork in it, you done. The one be fortunate to run. Or try to go grab your banger, come warring with your gun. How many body bags I need? I call the morgue when I'm done. My body count is up, go ahead, somebody count them up.
One,
too many bodies piling up.
Three.
The Undertaker's here, I got a hearse for a hoopty. Stunned all day like I was rehearsing for a movie. It was up to me to go to church and worship with the Koofy. But the blood inside of me got me twerking with the Uzi. Whoopi and Little Scooby, they school me to be this Ruly. Truly,
Shoe
I beat up bullies that's bigger than Big O' Shooby. Titties and big old booties won't get me to trick on cuties. Just give me a fifth of Louie, a split for that sticky Huey. I'm ripping this track to shreds while spitting this at your head. Hip-hop was never dead, just treading this back instead. I got it.
Killer Kai. Legacy. Cold fingers.
Yeah.
Top of track, nigga.
Dipping on lean, Tony. Rolling that weed, blowing. Knowing they watch you fucking. I'ma get rich till they close. Flowing like an ocean. Give me the beat, I go with. Never wanted the fame, but money get your face loaded. So now it's all eyes on me, Tupac. Waiting the same place, money at a new spot. Caught a brickie, had it OT in the tube top. Hoop stop and friend, these bitches don't leave my name shot. You know the basic shit, 100 out of 8 brick. Places to press it and sell it wholesale, cheap as shit. I'm on my Meechie shit, you never see nothing like it. At least not black, I promise you and I ain't psyched. Courtesy of the mind, blowing the rental, feeling like AZ was in the side. Telling me to survive, not pushing it cause I wanna. Not to mention I'm fly, I'm potent marijuana, oh.
Keep grinding, never stop until you make it happen. Washington, Grant, Lincoln's, Hamilton's, the Jacksons, Benjamin Franklin's, count them up, stack them all. I keep running ahead, try me, fuck the law. Keep grinding, never stop until you make it happen. Washington, Grant, Lincoln's, Hamilton's, the Jacksons, Benjamin Franklin's, count them up, stack them all. I keep running ahead, try me, fuck the law. The ink in my pen is blood. So if I write fuck you, then say fuck you is tough love. But I just let that sucker shit die down a bit. Me and Baby D ride dirty for the hell of it. We get knocked, we bail out and get wasted. The Henny's so strong, I drink it straight without chasing it. Mine on a mansion, architect my own castle. When it's war, my soldiers bring bazookas to a battle. Use the pussy, that's why you can't move without your homeboys. Villain till I die, catch me blasting off them stainless toys. Kings asking when I'm ready for the kitchen. I married the game, never divorced. I'm on force, I put your flow on ice. I'm so cold, not to have it. 96 traffic was all action. Summertime, I'm trying to hop in that whip and do it my way. I'm so floze, oh yeah, poppy, I need more, yeah. Keep grinding, never stop until you make it happen. Washington, Grant, Lincoln's, Hamilton's, the Jacksons, Benjamin Franklin's, count them up, stack them all. I keep running ahead, try me, fuck the law. Keep grinding, never stop until you make it happen. Washington, Grant, Lincoln's, Hamilton's, the Jacksons, Benjamin Franklin's, count them up, stack them all. I keep running ahead, try me, fuck the law.
Phrase the days, jewel to a hater, go and cage your rage. They told him he was nice, overrated your ways. Peace, squeeze the cage, tell his motherfucking shoulders hurt. The getaway whip, Bavarian, motor work, certified high power, nigga, we don't go to church. You know the infamous French flank, low alert, fan mad tight like no loose ends. Got a kind of Drake shit, no new friends. G's on the specs like you know those lens. Riding in the Benz with the low pro rims. Fly gangsta bitches in nice furs. Still push heat to the limit like Spurs. Me and your bitch just might swerve. Even if I dress like a nerd. Cause the vibe is gangsta, gangsta. That's that gangsta.
I can show you how a gangsta walk. Listen up when a certified gangsta talk. Real G's move a solid, set the bang off. Niggas ain't satisfied until they shit hanging off. I can show you how a gangsta walk. Listen up when I'm certified gangsta talk. Real G's move a solid, set the bang off. Who wants to talk? I can show them how a gangsta walk.
Cut that thing in my jeans, I'm G-walking. You a pussy, shitting open your lips when a G talking. Old school caddy off the candy in the chrome. Clean as the living room in your grandmama home. I don't even want your wifey, I'm a slam, then I'm gone. Just to hurt your little feelings, understand where I'm gone. Where you standing in the moment, they don't like that. When I got the jewels on, but the tools on, if you like that. Sky Mac pimping in the clouds, it's the magic. She get the magnum on with no hands, that's a hat trick. Shooter call them ghosts and bro squeeze your soul lead. See me with a nigga, they codees or OGs.
Uh-huh.
Certified summer, by the way. Working on them new tees, and for the winter, got some fleece shit. All over the city, cause the wave's strong. And when they see a gangster walk, they put their brakes on. That gangster talk, yeah. That gangster talk.
I can show you how a gangster walk. Listen up when a certified gangster talk. Real G's move a solid, set the bang off. Niggas ain't satisfied until they shit hanging off. I can show you how a gangster walk. Listen up when a certified gangster talk. Real G's move a solid, set the bang off. Who wants to talk? I can show them how a gangster walk.
We getting money, my fly niggas is taking off.
shake it off. I don't pay the cost, I just tell her to take it off. Who wants some sauce? I can show them how I gangsta walk. I done went gold out of that crack house. Over a million sold out that trap house. Hella samples get passed out my stash house. Potato on the tip of the gut, don't get mashed out. They don't want them dimes when them dubs stashed out. Bitches love my moves, they get UFC tacked out. I talk crazy, plus a nigga act out. Shooters on deck, don't ask me what that about. I can't smoke secondhand, catching contact. Turn up, bust a pound down and grind back. Just know I got some killers in my contact. All about my money, but them hoes have me sidetracked. That's that gangsta walk. I can show you how a gangsta walk. Listen up when I'm certified gangsta talk. Real D's moving solid, set the bang off. Niggas ain't satisfied until this shit hanging off. I can show you how a gangsta walk. Listen up when I'm certified gangsta talk. Real D's moving solid, set the bang off. Who wants the sauce? I can show them how a gangsta walk.
Purchase your tracks today.
Line them up, I knock them down. Watch who you rock around. Cause bullshit niggas, they try to knock you down. Line them up, I knock them down. Watch who you rock around. Because these bullshit niggas, they try to knock you down.
Yeah.
Chill, chizzle, what up, dawg? Yeah. It's alert, certified life, man. One half of A&P, you already know. Yeah.
Purchase your tracks today.
Yeah. First Fan Radio. What it do? Yeah. Yeah. When I recited it begin, I give them fire with the pen. Anybody want work, I'm writing, get it in. I talk slick, filthy, get rich, feel me. Y'all motherfuckers is hating, trying to grill me. I'm riding by real slow with the top gone. In the hood where they letting all them shots go. Fuck what they talking about, bullshit they talking out. And it's a freestyle, I'm spitting, I'ma walk it out. This a Christmas Eve present for my nigga Jizzle. If a nigga think I'm shitting, I will give him pistols. That's how this shit go, alert he just come spit flow. Switch flow, get ho, bag a nigga bitch toe. Frightened through the city high. Dress fresh, certified, life hoodie on. So you know that nigga fly. Ha, kiss your bitch goodbye. That's how I do it, making this good music. Certified life, it's the life that we living. Writing this real shit, used to write this shit in prison. Now I'm looking at these streets, I'm writing with a vision. And I'm, watch for these fake niggas, watch for these snake niggas. A lot of love and I don't show all that hate, nigga. Yeah, support the motherfucking album, Dedication and Doubt. First Fan Radio, alert!
Ha!
Yeah. Yeah. Got it. Got it. Bust me down. I ain't tryna stop till I'm rich as fuck. I'ma flip my head and make it triple up. I ain't tryna stop till I'm rich as fuck. I'ma flip my head and make it triple up. That work I got it. 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 I ain't tryna stop till I'm rich as fuck. I'ma flip my hand and make it triple up. I ain't tryna stop till I'm rich as fuck. I'ma flip my hand and make it triple up.
5 in the morning, I'm in the kitchen. I ain't making breakfast, I'm just water whipping. Got my bro with me, trying to grind up chicken. Disrespect a nigga, you gon' come a missing. I'm on a mission, money making. All my niggas G'd up, y'all niggas frauds, y'all faking. Straight drop,
coats hard. Whole team eating wing, got no job. Reincarnate the crack, always bring it back. Call shock for a challenge, you got the better sack. Bitch off a pill and she tryin' fuck. But I ain't got the time for it, I'm always chasing bucks. Money keep calling, yeah, my phone jumping. Don't call this number, dog, unless you want an onion. Anything less than that, you ain't getting nothing. Fuck around and get whacked, you really ain't getting nothing.
I ain't tryna stop till I'm rich as fuck. I'ma flip my hand and make it triple up. That work, I got it. 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 I ain't tryna stop till I'm rich as fuck. I'ma flip my hand and make it triple up. I ain't tryna stop till I'm rich as fuck. I'ma flip my hand and make it triple up. That work, I got it. Fuck the busy scale. Them fuckers watching rats trying to get me now. I'ma give them hell. Make my chopper holler, they gon' chase me. Doing the fucking buck in the squatter. Cocaine, I lock her. You no name, Max Lockers. I'm a boss nigga, you a lost nigga. Keep fucking up your product. They gave my nigga old like 17. $1 million month, he wanted better than connect. No, no England, he only know money. Buffin' George Flow, bricked up, blow money. I'm strapped up and I'm riding out. You fuck niggas can't move an ounce. We break blocks, make rocks. You take shots, we take shots. I ain't tryna stop till I'm rich as fuck. I'ma flip my hand and make it triple up. That work, I got it. 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 I ain't tryna stop till I'm rich as fuck. I'ma flip my hand and make it triple up. I ain't tryna stop till I'm rich as fuck. I'ma flip my hand and make it triple up.
God Styles Beats.
When
when they kicked up in your trap, nigga. We updating, calling, texting, tweeting. One fourth move with you rappers, we beefing, and I won't stop, nigga. Until my city's on top, nigga. From the town, from the town, from the town, from the town.
Ready, real.
Shots flying down the pole, man, she's looking good. I'm paying fees, trying to get up, right over my wood. Now shots trying to pay the bills, trying to eat. What's the deal? Is she trying to spend some time with me? Now shots flying down the pole, man, she's looking good. I'm paying fees, trying to get up, right over my wood.
Good, brother.
What you up to, brother? Chilling.
Chilling. It's Ron the Jeweler.
Word. Andy. What's up, man? What y'all up to tonight?
Not much, man. You know, I enjoyed the show earlier, you know. Miss Scott and everything, you know.
Yeah, man, I definitely wanted to be a part of that one, definitely, man. I had my car getting fixed, and, you know, I had that push start button that came out, you know. I had to get that big, that dropped me like $600, but I definitely wanted to be on that show right there, man. That was one to look out for, definitely.
Damn, I seen your video, man, about the video you did up at the Georgia Guidestones, man.
Oh, yeah, boss, yeah, I definitely filmed a video up there, man.
Yeah,
Cause I've been, something came on, like they was look, they, you know, I forgot the guy's name. He's like an explorer or something like that, or archaeologist.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
trying to look into it, you know, Illuminati or something, you know, built it or something. God was
yeah, they say that, you know, there's different opinions and stuff like that. You know, there is different opinions. I mean, I guess I could say I felt a little bit different while I was up there, but it wasn't a displeasing feeling. The stones are written in Chinese and Arabic and inscriptions and stuff like that. They're 19 feet tall. They're giant. Supposedly, they were built around like the 1980s by a guy named R.C. Christian. And that's what his pseudonym was, or his alias was, because he didn't want
to
go by
it. The guy that put up the money to build it, right?
Yeah, and supposedly the construction worker of Elberton, Georgia, the stone, basically the stonemason, you know, said, you know, I don't have enough materials to build this. You know, this thing is, you know, 237,000 pounds. You know, there's no way I can move, you know, six slabs of granite that far.
Autumn
and
stones, very heavy.
Yes, yes, sir, they are. And, you know, not to mention, you know, they're some odd, you know, millimeters thick, and, you know, they're god-awfully heavy. And they say that, you know, the guy, he, that, you know, opened this, you know, granite service, you know, he really didn't want to jump on it at first. He kind of was just like, nah, you know, we don't have enough granite. You know, we don't have enough. And, you know, supposedly this R.C. Christian comes back the next day, puts down another couple suitcases, or the story goes, and he also rejects it. He offers to build a statue in the middle of Elberton, Georgia, like another statue that they, you know, they needed, probably for the city hall at the time. And then they finally agreed to build it. And it built today in Elberton, Georgia. And it's a definite monument to check out. And, yeah, I would say it's a spot that would be, what words are, a spot to be checked out. Definitely a spot to be checked out, man.
Because when I was watching, you know, the documentary on it or whatever, you know, they revealed something about depopulation or something on there.
Yeah.
They kept talking about depopulation and everything, you know, and it had it on there and on the stones and everything.
Yeah, it definitely, it has that. It has it in some odd languages too: English, Spanish, Sahili, Hindu, Hebrew, Arabic, Chinese, Russian. There's like a few other ones. Supposedly there's Aramaic on there. I believe there may be a form of Aramaic, which is a previous language, or Sumerian, even, to predate. But some people say, you know, oh, Hollywood's crazy, but, you know, these are very interesting stones. So I love these. You know, I took very high interest in it. But, yes, it does say the first out of the 10 that there are. It says maintain humanity under 500, I think it's 500 million, in perpetual balance with nature. I can go through them if you'd like me to. I can read all 10 if you'd like.
Sure.
Definitely. And then guide, second one is guide reproduction wisely. Now it gives you a comma there, and it says improve fitness and diversity. Now you have to think about that, and, you know, as a human, you know, or as you, who you are as an individual, you know, you got to think about it and how you're, you know, going about your life and what, you know, it's very different. It's hard to explain. You know, I would say to the viewers, meditation is key to understanding certain things. The third one is unity with humanity, with living in a new language, basically, which means, you know, one language of some sorts, I guess they would say, I guess.
Right.
Four would be to rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things that are tempered for reasons. Basically, just basically keep things like the olden days, like how they wanted it, how they want to keep it, you know, how they supposedly need it. And they, you know, could be anybody, you know, that, and it seems like maybe there is a power trip there, but I can't really make a connection. I do believe the fifth one is protect the people and the nations with fair laws and the justice of courts. Now, that is usually fair laws of one court. Now, that would be, so six would be let all nations rule, resolve internal disputes in the world court. So that's also a one court. Goes on to seven, avoid petty laws and useless officials. And you can basically, you know, if you got a book at home or something like that, if you've read and stuff like that, you understand what that means and stuff like that. So go on to number eight. Balance personal rights with social duties. Now, to me, that means, you know, your rights as a person, your social duties as a person to do things. You wake up every day, brush your teeth. That could be as simple as that. But you can also look at it in a different, you know, that sort of way. Also, going to nine. Prize truth, beauty, love, speak harmony with the infinite. Now, we don't know who the infinite is. They do not describe who the infinite is on the stones. They do not say who the infinite is. But it says to prize truth, beauty, love, and seek harmony. That's repeated of number nine. And then it goes on to follow into ten. Be not a cancer upon the earth. Leave room for nature, call it leave room for nature. So it's very odd because 10, which made me very curious. Number one, really, I mean, I could see that, you know, people feel as if, you know, there's not enough space. But if they realize that there is enough space, there's enough space, period. But now 10, to be a cancer on this earth, what are we as humans? Can we or can we not fight off viruses? Does that make us a parasite? And to whoever or whom built this, do they see us as a parasite, cancer, or disease? Now, it goes into my second thing, leave room for nature. Now, we're trying to grow and prosper as a humanity and as a society as a whole and all demographics, black, white, you know, everybody. We're all trying to grow. But then it repeats it again. Leave room for nature. So it seems like the person in power wants something a little bit less small, or excuse me, a little bit less large. They would prefer something a little bit more of their, let's say, control. They could control. And they, I guess, put it up and let it put there. And, you know, I found a high interest in it. You know, I love the stones. I rubbed my hands all over them. I felt them. You know, I've seen
Did
the...
you look through the square?
Oh, yeah. I stayed there, you know, I made sure that I stayed there, you know, for the whole night so I could make sure I saw the sunrise and everything like that and the sunset, so I made sure I did that because, you know, I'll get into that.
They spent a lot of money to put those stones up there, that guy.
Oh, yeah, they described that it's a undisclosed amount of money. So they really don't have, you know, any amount. And, you know, I've heard, you know, certain rumors that there's another separate tablet over to the right. And it actually says who built it, when they built it, and blah, blah, blah. And I've heard certain rumors that there's like a, if you've ever seen the movie Resident Evil, there's like a tank or like a genetic holding cell for all of humankind, all of the different races, all of the different functions of animals, you know, all of the different species of animals, all the way back to the dodo bird. And that's a rumor I've heard, you know, multiple times when I've actually
dodo
traveled.
Dodo bird is extinct now, right?
Well, yes, the dodo bird is actually extinct. So to say that they could bring back the dodo bird questions me, or it makes me question. Dyslexia comes at a small price. But you know, I asked the local residents, you know, how they feel about it and stuff like that, and how they, you know, they really don't even know about it. It's kind of how Germany doesn't really know too much about the Holocaust. If you go over to Germany, you ask me, you know, a couple of people, hey, you know, remember the Holocaust? And they're like, no. You know, they don't remember. You know, either they don't remember or they, you know, have manipulated their systems to where they don't remember.
Well, when I was in school, I studied the whole Holocaust from front to back. Yeah.
So you remember, and there was a lot of people. There was a lot of people, you know, there. There was people taking pictures. I mean, where else would they have gotten the pictures from? There was obviously a lot of people there. And, you know, these stones stood out to me in the video, especially was very fond of the fact that we had the glorification, apparently, of the Elberton County Police Department. Thank you, Elberton County Police Department. for showing up on us at 4:30 in the morning, literally dead at the middle of the night. I'm telling you, we're out in the middle of the woods. There's nothing around us. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nobody.
Right.
All you hear is coyotes. You know, I mean, they came out there and, you know, we're filming and not to mention, this is the third time we have driven up here. First time we get there, this is how creepy this place is. First time we get there, we get
it's
out.
It's real
we,
creepy to me.
Oh, it gives you a very different vibe. I would say a different vibe. Not a creepy vibe, not a weird, a normal vibe. I would say a different vibe. But we went up there our first journey, and this is all on the same day. This is why I was able to look through the stone and experience it firsthand. Our cameraman, we drove 4 hours, and the cameraman forgot his camera. And it was so odd because we remember packing the camera. We remember packing the lights. So something was odd, and something seemed like it was keeping us away. But, you know, myself, I love to see that stuff firsthand. You know, I love to dig my hand and fists and feet and, you know, crush some berries and figure out what's going on because I like the supernatural. It's funny to me. It's cool. It sticks out. I've always liked ghost shows. You know, they're fake, but there's actually real stuff out there. Now, I go out there for my second journey. Now, the second journey, we do not have any lights. Our lights go out. We have to go all the way back 30 miles to the nearest Walmart. We buy a set of lights. We buy the exact same set of lights that we were using previously. We return them and turn them on. They don't work. We tested them at the store. They worked fine. You know, we had replacement bulbs and replacement batteries, and we had tried. Then soon after, about an hour and a half after, the police officer showed up after we had gotten back from the Walmart, and they were like, "What are you guys doing?" And, you know, we had turned around and literally we're literally filming this video.
Like, yeah.
You what now?
I said it sounds like.
Yeah, it definitely was. It's different. They have a camera there too. It's 24/7 surveillance. It's got infrared. It's got
They got cameras up there guarding that whole place.
Oh yeah, the whole entire place. There's only one house.
So
at the end of the drive.
So people can't go up there and destroy nothing or nothing. They'll catch them.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. What they have on there is what they call I do not remember the name right off of hand, but it's the ability to scan your ID while you're in the car. It's the ability to scan your license plate. And the ability to scan any people that are in the car, how many people are in the car, what their demographics are. It's kind of like a PPM. If someone was to look up tonight on like a Wikipedia or in the dictionary or anything like that of a wiki can be changed. Find a reliable source. Find a reliable source. They're called PPMs, and they're called personal people meters. And they're used by like radio shows and stuff like that, you know, to see how many people are listening, who's listening, what the demographics are. Now, this camera works the exact same way, except it's listening to see who's there, what's being done, and who and how much cops the scent. I tell you this. The first one that shows up, white guy, freaks me out. I don't like white people. I just don't. You know, I'm a white male myself. I don't like them. They freak me out. You know, hey, how you doing? I'm like, dude, put some cheese on your damn crackers, you Ritz. But I didn't really say that, but I wanted to. Anyways, you know, he's like, hey, how you doing tonight? And, you know, how's everything going out here? And I was like, I'm shooting a video. What else does it look like I'm doing? I'm shitting. You know, I'm out here in the middle of the woods taking a shit. You know? But he comes up to me, and he's basically like, you know, what are you doing out here, kid? And I was like, you know, I take great interest in the Stones. Like I said, you know, earlier in the interview tonight, you know, I really love, you know, being around that crazy supernatural stuff. You know, I always used to go to Savannah and, you know, walk through the graveyards and stuff like that. You know, I was just cool with it. You know, I had a lot of friends die, and I had a lot of friends die in front of me. So, I mean, death wasn't that, you know, at first it was very hard for me, yes. But that's the reason why I went to film at the Guidestones, is because of all the deaths that I've seen, because of all the pain that has been suffered with our world, because of all the mystery. I wanted to see the mystery, and I wanted to see it for myself. I wanted to film it for myself. And if anybody wants to go on YouTube tonight, actually, you can check my video out. It's Mr. Hollywood with four O's, like 4 ounces. Anybody in Cali will know that. That shit's fun. But you'll see my white ass dancing around with the prophet, and he's actually in prison right now. And we were out there, and we did some, you know, blood representations, and, you know, we did a couple of things at my dad's spot that, you know, we showed the first actual shot is, you know, a local lodge and stuff like that. And, you know, what else? See what else we have. You know, Ozzy does some of the rituals and stuff like that, you know, so it's very simplistic. You know, we try to put as much as we can in there, you know, to let everybody know what's up, you know. I mean, it's a mysterious world, and we like to keep people in a mysterious kind of form. At least I do. You know, I like to keep people guessing, and that's what keeps, you know, an artist around, because, you know, you constantly see the paparazzi breaking down people, and you always see them having to reinvent themselves. And if you don't reinvent yourself, you won't become anything, and you won't be in the LA limelight, or you won't be on the TMZ. So I see myself as a reinventor. And as RC Christian reinvented something, and as all these other builders, you know, invented something, for instance, you know, Ted Turner made the A of the A hat. You know, and that's a brilliant, you know, idea. You know, that was his trademark, and he had, you know, I wear that every day, and I call it the Turner A, and I love it. You know, I represent, you know, Atlanta and, you know, stuff like that. You know, it's a big tight end movement with me. I definitely, you know, have a high respect for the Stones and have a very high interest. Very high interest. What do you think about it? You know, I've been running my mouth. So what do you think about the Stones? How do you feel about them? What do you think?
Well, the program that I was watching that was pertaining to that, you know, they were trying to get more investigation. You know, cause they were trying to say something bad, you know, about it or whatever. But like you said, you know, they got cameras and everything. Obviously, it belongs to them. It's theirs.
It's actually, it's listed. You can actually go to the left, and it actually belongs to Elberton County. They bought it. It is owned by them. They actually, some weird way, bought it. But it's actually, I found another, it's an Egyptian hieroglyphs as well, classic Greek, Babylonian, there's so many languages. You know, Prophet was really funny because he's about 4 foot tall, and a 19, you know, almost 20 foot stone looks really funny. You know, with him in the back, but, you know, to see through it, you know, I mean, so you were seeing it more in a negative aspect, you say?
That's kind of the way they was trying to, you know, put it.
Yeah, that's definitely. We always got to see it like this. You know, people have their own opinions and stuff like that, so I see it as more like, you know, maybe he just wanted to express himself. Maybe that's how he felt, or, you know, he did want power. But you never know. You never certainly know about these things because they're always a mystery. And that's what's always cool about keeping things, you know. It's always cool. It's like when you're a kid, you're always like, you know, what is Santa Claus going to bring me? You know, is he going to eat the cookies? You know, that was always the mystery. And, you know, I like to keep kids, well, actually adults, more or less, you know, to remember their childhood, kind of remember their childhood, you know, be more of like a kid-like, you know, enjoy those things, you know. Be intrigued by the mysterious things that are out there. You know, go and see them. You know, if people are talking about these, you know, what are the CDC coffins? They said there were coffins. Have you heard about those?
Nah.
Yeah, they're also up there in that area, Monroe, I do believe. I was there the day that they got rid of them. And I was like huge. I was into conspiracy theories huge. I was all over websites looking up UFO sightings, you know, stuff like that. You know, I just was in it. And you know, I didn't know at the time that my family was all in the military. So I, you know, my father was on kind of his deathbed at the time, and he was, you know, letting me know certain things. And you know, my granddad, you know, had already passed away, and he was supposedly in some stuff too. You know, so I had heard some things, and, you know, I had related to them, and some of the things seemed right, but some of the things, yeah, they seem a little bit different. You know, but those are always opinions about people's, you know, and that was 40 years ago was the 80s? 30 years ago?
Right.
You know, something like that. So that's their opinion of that long ago of us. You know, and I just suggest to the users, man, you know, if you feel, you know, something is like Illuminati or like that, you know, that feeling that, oh, that Illuminati, like that Satan 666, blah, 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 Baphomet, blah, 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 you know, you're always going to find that on YouTube. I mean, you could search ABC's reverse phonetics 666 will pop up somewhere in there. You know, there's always something to be found. You know, and that's what I try to tell my artists, that, you know, you got to work around, you know, there's a good that's out there, and there's an evil that's out there. And there's people that want money, there's people that want power, and there's people that want, you know, them both at the same time, and there's people that want them separately. And you have to decide whether you want the money and you want to separate yourself ego-wise from the power, or give up your money rights, basically your substantial gain, to become something above, you know, even the wealth of money. You know, be a senator, be a president, and go out and, you know, talk to the youth. You know, be something above that. That's, you know, kind of in that area. You know, I kind of talk all over the place. If you can catch, you know, kind of what I'm talking about, you know, I can help you out a little bit. But if you need more information, you know, I have contacts and stuff like that. You know, I'm on the radio Fridays, you know, stuff like that. And you know, I'm always, you know, any questions. Do I know?
I said, no doubt, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely, man. And, you know, I was hearing about the earlier show, man, and I apologize again. You know, my car was, you know, broken down and stuff like that, and it was a different situation for me there. But, you know, how was the show? Was it good? Did it go well?
Yeah, the show was excellent.
That's what's up, man. I like to hear that, man. See, first up, you know, I'd like to shout out, you know, before I, you know, I want y'all to get back to some music. How long are y'all got? Y'all got a couple more minutes?
We have like seven minutes left.
Well, that's what's up. That's what's up. I'd like to, you know, I'm going to go ahead and let y'all get back into music and stuff like that. And, you know, I'll be on Friday. So if you want to, you know, call in, or, you know, you want to talk to me, dude, I love having guests on, or like co-hosts, you know, radio host guests with me, because it always makes the ladies feel more comfortable. I like it, you know, it makes things more comfortable. You know, so check me out there. Check me out on my YouTube. Check me out. You can search me on Google, Hollywood, I Own You. It's typed in lowercase letters with a U at the end, and it's just all typed together. You'll find me on Coast to Coast. You'll find me on Jay-Z's website. You'll find me everywhere.
No doubt.
Yeah, but definitely, you know, shout out to First Fam Radio. Shout out to you guys for doing a fucking great job. You guys are wonderful, man. You know, shout out to everybody that's been on the show today. And just y'all keep it easy. And this is Hollywood, and I'm giving a straight up salute, First Fam.
First Family, Ron and Julian, Hollywood.
We'll get back
into some music, First Family style.
That's how we do it, man. Drop that, drop that.
Ready, real. Sharp lines on the pole, it's looking good. I'm paying fees, trying to get a grind on my wood. That shouts is trying to pay the bills, trying to eat. But the bills is trying to spend some time with me. That shouts is lying down the pole, it's looking good. I'm paying the bills.
If I can't grind at night, I'll wait till the morning. If I can't grind in the morning, you'll still be on me. Because scared nigga don't make no money, and no money make no sunny day. I just wanna be happy.
I just wanna be happy.
Got haters that wanna snatch me.
Charles told me story. Story about my life. I ain't a public figure, nigga. I'm just trying to do what's right. I smoke lots of trees like every single night. Grab a pen and write what I go through in life. Try to illustrate my thoughts on the page when I write. I'm on the same blocks and corners where the homies sell that white. But we ain't selling drugs, it's just music to your ears. Getting to the money, cause this is our year. Except the flights where it's sunny, we all trying to go there. No time for the haters, cause we don't really care. Bye-bye, see you later when we fly through the air. We worldwide connected, respected everywhere. Learning lessons every day, how this world will eat you up. The streets is really tough and it's calling niggas bluffs. On every dollar bill it's saying God we trust. And money bring power so them hammers getting bust.
If I can't grind at night, I'll wait till the morning. If I can't grind in the morning, you'll still be on me. Scared nigga don't make no money, and no money make no sunny day. I just wanna be happy.
I just wanna be happy.
Got haters that wanna snatch me. Niggas pocket dollars trying to make sense. Mama raised 10 kids in one residence. Ain't it funny how we get money for rent? No need to know how that you might snitch. They say I ain't a thug, but how could they say that? When all I know is fat, slippin' bread and wick, peanut butter, older than a daddy. Everything you got is wrecked. And the more we get broke, the more the system gets fat.
don't change. In a way, I eat, I live, I talk, cause I am the street. Falling off, it don't matter, ain't no thing to me. Cause you know I am a T-H-U-G. No shame in a way I walk, I talk, I live, I eat, cause I am the street. Falling off, it don't matter, ain't no thing to me, cause you know I am.